isn't common sense supposed to be common? The struggle is real, my friends. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
We put the dumbest people on television, and the TV's on all the time, and the little kids are picking up secondhand dumb. We coddle these kids too much. Let these kids grow up. Stop washing their hands. Antibacterial soap? We didn't have that when I was a kid. I didn't wash my hands until I was 22. The old germs killed the new germs. In my family, if there were five people, one sink, one hand towel. Five people, one sink, one damp hand towel that never dried. It never dried. And I just found out recently that none of us ever touched the front of the towel because that's what we thought everybody else was touching. We all went around back. Turns out that's where the polio and scabies, hand, foot, mouth, head, shoulders, knees, and toes disease was hanging out. We embraced germs. Germs were good. Germs make us, they made us strong. We used to try and get germs. My parents tried to get me chickenpox. They had to, like, sneak it in. They had to drive me to some other town I'd never been to before. I had a blind play date with some kid I never met. Some kid named Jimmy. They shoved me in a room with a kid who's got lesions and pus and scabs and open wounds. Have fun.
Hi there. Welcome. Kate Daly Show. I'm your host, Kate Daly. So glad that you're joining us today. We always have some interesting things to talk about, don't we? And we pride ourselves on talking about the truth and really trying to understand this world that we've been living in, where history and the understanding of our Constitution and the understanding of our Republic and all these things, for some reason, we have just been not on the side of being educated on any of those things. And so it's nice to play catch up and have a show where we can expose so many different types of things on this show. So I really appreciate you listening in. And you can email me, Kate at katedalyradio.com. katedalyradio.com. Daly is spelled like Valley. How easy is that? Also, go to the new YouTube channel. I just did a YouTube of 15 questions. Very interesting. Connect the dot questions that you should be thinking about. And you'll probably recognize some of them or know some of them, but some of them are going to be new because they're things I haven't mentioned really on the show yet. So make sure you go to YouTube and check that out at the Kate Daly Show Truth and Radio channel. And you can see that YouTube as well. I welcome Melissa Smith with me. She joins me every Wednesday at this time. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you, Kate.
You bet.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, that's for sure.
Well, we've got some interesting topics at hand. We are going to be talking a little bit about Black Lives Matter violence, crazy, a little bit about that. But I want to play this for you, Melissa. Let me play this for you, because this song it's always interesting to me when we talk about government, how much is intertwined. This song by Tim Hawkins, The Government Can. Here you go.
Here's some other guy, the government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
Into the bureaucracy of government, and it's always fascinating to me to listen to a song like that. If he puts it in comedy form, so you can kind of see what we're up against. But oh my gosh, bureaucracies! Let's talk about this, because this is something that's usually not talked a lot about for some oddball reason. I don't know why, because it affects us on our daily lives.
Well, yeah, it really, really does. I think this is really interesting. I ran across this quote, which got me thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Bureaucracy is a set of organizational principles and practices
mm-hmm.
that are designed to maximize human compliance. Think about that.
Say that again. Just say it again.
Bureaucracy is a set of organizational principles and practices that are designed to maximize human compliance.
Wow. Through regulation and policy and non-elected persons and
Well, let's expand our thinking even.
Okay.
Believe it or not, that came out of a business management article.
Huh.
And we are so used to bureaucracy in every aspect of our life.
Right.
It does not matter. The jobs that we go to are bureaucratic.
Mm-hmm.
The government that we deal with every day is bureaucratic.
Mm-hmm.
It completely swallows every aspect of our life.
So true, though.
And we've been thinking and thinking and thinking, government-wise, you know, why, you know, we hear everybody talking about, oh, deep state this, deep state that. What the heck is the deep state?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the deep state is a bureaucracy designed to maximize human compliance. That's exactly what it is.
You're right. You're exactly right. Yeah.
So our problem isn't the Constitution. You and I would agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-brainer.
Right.
But where did the problem come from? Let me give you a quick trip through some history here. At the beginning of the 19th century, so in 1800, the federal government had only five departments: Treasury, War, Navy, Post Office, and State.
Hmm.
The entire government. Those were the only departments that there were.
You know, gosh, can you even imagine a world where we would actually stick to that right now?
And you think about it, those were constitutionally
right.
mandated
right.
things.
Yes.
Like the State Department was to handle the relationships that the United States as a whole country had with foreign governments.
Right.
Because that's not something states should do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a national issue. If you think about Treasury, that was to regulate a uniform currency across the country.
Right.
War, the Department of War.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case state failed in their job, we had the War Department. The Department of the Navy, because we really didn't have a standing army.
Mm-hmm.
And the Post Office, which is a constitutionally mandated department.
Right.
They're no longer a department, by the way. They're now a service, which was a kick downstairs for them.
Right. Yeah, they changed the way they did business in the last 20 years.
Well, it's interesting that the Post Office and their importance has reared its ugly head yet again.
Hmm.
But since that time, in the 100 years from 1903 to 2002, there has been a gain of 7 more departments.
Hmm.
And we've added things like, now we have, like, instead of just the Navy, now we have the Army, the Navy, you know,
all the branches.
A whole bunch that have all been rolled into one big department.
Sure.
But if you think about then the bureaucracy that runs those departments, this is government by the unelected.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about our interaction with government, we are almost always dealing with the bureaucrats, hardly ever with our elected officials.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We had to install all of that because in the 1800s, the income of the government was much different. It was mostly off land and tariffs. And then in the 1900s, we adopted income tax, corporate tax, Social Security. So they instituted not only the unconstitutionality of all three of those items, then they had to add all their bureaucratic mess to be able to say they were dealing with all of that, right? That it was necessary. But the first action actually of adding all of those things was unconstitutional, so they just formed all those departments on the unconstitutional means of expanding the income by gouging the people. It's kind of amazing how they did it.
it kind of is, and it's because we have just like bought hook, line, and sinker that this is the only way to manage anything.
Right,
is to set up a bureaucracy to run it, and it parallels.
Right. Uh-huh.
It actually parallels some other historical things, the rise of professionalization, where we don't believe that ordinary people anymore, as an ordinary person, you're not capable of raising your children. You need experts to tell you how to do that.
Right.
You're not capable of, you know, using your own land appropriately. You need the Bureau of Land Management to tell you how to do that. You know, in every aspect, these are the people who run our lives. The unelected bureaucracy is who is in our face about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that we have with that is there's a huge disconnect between the bureaucracy and their customers. So, to put it in like modern business jargon, who are the customers of the government?
Yeah. Huh.
Who are they supposed to be serving? That's we the people, right?
Right.
But listen to this. This is a fun little thing.
Okay.
There's a thing called Purnell's Iron Law of Bureaucracy.
Okay.
Never heard of this, but this is mm-hmm. great. And it's so totally truthful. In any bureaucracy, there will be two kinds of people.
Okay.
The first kind are the people who are there because of the mission and vision of the organization. So if you mm-hmm. think about the educational bureaucracy we have in the United States, the first kind of people are the teachers who are out there teaching our kids every day, in the classroom, working hard, doing what they do.
Okay.
But there's a second kind of person inside a bureaucracy as well. And those are the people who actually work for the benefit of the organization.
Right.
So in our educational example, it would be the teachers union.
Mm.
And they're not working for children.
No.
They're working for the teachers union.
So true. It's so true. A bureaucracy within a bureaucracy. How fun.
And then here's the corollary that goes mm-hmm. with it.
Okay.
The longer the bureaucracy has existed, the more power the second group of people have. So think about any place where you interact mm-hmm. with a bureaucracy. And I was talking to my husband at lunch about this, and he said, oh my gosh, as he was fighting, he's a veteran of the property tax wars mm-hmm. here. And he asked our assessor's office, who supervises you? Who are you accountable
right,
to?
Right, right.
And they said, the Division of Government Finance.
Okay.
They have mm-hmm. become, so what happens is there's goals set up for the assessor's office to meet financial goals that the city wants them to meet.
Mm-hmm.
They are no longer working for the people.
Right.
They are now working for the city and the Department of Local Government Finance.
Nice. Oh, geez. Okay.
And we wonder, so think about any bureaucracy.
Right.
Think
right.
about any place where we have a connection and see if you don't find those two people.
You're right. Absolutely. Be right back. Kate Daly's Show. I'm on with Melissa Smith talking about bureaucracies. Interesting stuff. Be right back.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
The changes in my husband has been phenomenal. He was resisting, another scam of yours. I said, this is not a scam. I said, look at what I can do. Look at the energy. I was battling with him for over a year. But then he saw the readings on his blood work. They really changed to the positive. They were very, very negative, and he was having a lot of trouble. He was in and out of the hospital and all that kind of stuff. Now he's kind of like Tarzan. No, not really. But they really have escalated to a point where the doctor keeps smiling all the time. What are you doing? He said, I just listened to my wife again, and I'm doing Balance of Nature.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there, welcome back. Got a little Tim Hawkins. Well, Tim Hawkins for you, because the government can. I love that song. I love that he pokes fun at it, too. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. The reason I'm always talking about this is I researched all the different supplements, and this one was head and shoulders above the rest because it had so much packed into it for such a low, great price. Anyone could afford it. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing product. And it also came with a fiber drink. So you've got 3 veggie caplets, 3 fruit caplets, 31 fruits and vegetables dehydrated down, to take out the air and water and leave you the nutrients. And that's the best part. It's the part you want. Your body is crying out for this right now. Let me just tell you, we've eaten enough McDonald's and drinking enough pop and eaten enough Doritos to last a lifetime, the gift that keeps on giving. And our bodies are just crying out for nutrients. Right now is a great time to get a hold of your health and your immune system. This is the way to do it. Go to balanceofnature.com. Put in the code Kate. It's my first name, and K-A-T-E, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. Make sure you're taking advantage of this right now. They'll kick it out in 24 hours. And by the way, you get a free health coach, too. I mean, honestly, I don't know of a better product than this. All right. I've got Melissa Smith back here with me. And I just we're talking about bureaucracy, and I just had to read this because this was just so funny. And I remembered this back from a few years back. This was a letter sent to the landowner of Oregon Department Fish and Wildlife, okay? And this is the letter to the landowner from the department. The Department of Oregon Fish and Wildlife staff will be conducting surveys for the foothill yellow-legged frogs over the next few months. As part of this research, we'd like to survey the creek on your property. I'm writing this letter to request your permission to access your property. Recent research indicates the foothill yellow-legged frogs have declined significantly in recent years and are no longer found at half of their historic sites. Your cooperation would be greatly appreciated. Let us know if you're willing to let us cross your property or not to do this. Okay, so they wrote back. This is just so brilliant. Thank you for your inquiry regarding accessing our property to survey for the yellow-legged frog. We may be able to help you out with this matter. We've divided our 2.26 acres into 75 equal survey units with a draw tag for each unit. Application fees are only $8 per unit after you purchase the frog survey license, $120 for a resident, $180 for a non-resident. You will then need to obtain a frog habitat parking permit, $10 per vehicle. You'll also need an invasive species stamp, $15 for the first vehicle, $5 for each additional vehicle. You'll also want to register at the check station to have your vehicle inspected for non-native plant life prior to entering our property. Also, there's a day use fee, $5 per vehicle. If you're successful in the draw, you will be notified 2 weeks in advance. You can make necessary plans and purchase your creek habitat stamp, which is about $140 for a non-resident. Survey units open between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m., but you cannot commence surveying until 9 a.m. and must cease all activity by 1 p.m. Survey gear can only include a net with a 2-inch diameter made of 100% organic cotton netting with no longer than an 18-inch handle, non-weighted, and no deeper than 6 inches from net frame to the bottom of the net. Handles can only be made of BPA-free plastics and wooden handles. After 1 p.m., you can use a net with a 3-inch diameter after you purchase the frog net endorsement, $75 for a resident, $250 for a non-resident. Also, you'll need to provide evidence of successful completion of frog surveys and your comprehensive course on frog identification, safe handling practices, and self-defense strategies for frog attacks. This course is offered online through an accredited program for a nominal fee for $750. If we can be of assistance, please let us know. Otherwise, we decline your access to our property, but we appreciate your inquiry.
That's great.
I love it. Does it not spell out what people have to go through today? All the interagencies and the agencies and the departments and the people that are giving themselves all of this authority over our lives?
We know that the government is expensive, but we don't really know why it's so expensive.
Right.
And the reason why it's so expensive is because of unelected bureaucrats who write their own rules.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They're not going to be elected out in November, no matter who you elect at any level of government. If we're talking about the local, you know, the local fish and wildlife people or, you know, on the national level, the bureaucracy stays. Elections come and go. And it's part of the reason why it's so difficult to eliminate any of that bureaucracy. These people are entrenched.
You're right.
And they protect themselves. It's in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it differently. It's never in their best interest to cut back, scale back, be more fiscally responsible, trim jobs, reduce responsibilities.
Right.
That is not how any bureaucracy works.
Responsibilities they gave themselves in the first place. And right now we have over 8,000 senior executives at the very, that's the most conservative amount, over 8,000 senior executives in the federal government. people that you never, ever consented to be there to make decisions about your life. It's kind of amazing, actually. And because of Obama, there was a lot of things that took place that make it very, very difficult to fire them. And these people stay in for each presidency. They don't, it's like there's no right or left for them. Out here, we're doing the right-left game out here. But inside these bureaucracies, they all stay through all the different presidents.
Right.
Right.
And if we really consider what happens inside a bureaucracy, what is rewarded inside the bureaucracy? Number one, it's a top-down model, meaning all bureaucracies function from the top to the bottom. So whoever's the top dog gets to set the tone. And sometimes the top dog will change a little bit. But do you know how much gap there is between the top dog and the bureaucracy and all the rest of the people? So authority trickles down. It's always top down.
Right.
Individuals are always in competition for scarce promotions. We use money as the reward. It achieves a very high... bureaucracies, I know we talk about bureaucracies are terribly inefficient, but they are efficient at control. Because there's a million people looking over your shoulder to make sure you're doing that job right.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And yet there's a lot of slack in the system, too, because there's a lot of people who don't really care if the job is done right. They're just looking out for themselves.
Isn't that the truth? I went to D.C., and because of who I was with, I was able to be privy to a kind of an after-work party for the EPA, okay? And the person I was with was very conservative, so it was really interesting as we were laughing about this to watch this group, but they did not know that I did a show. They didn't know, you know, at the time, and I had my show on Glenn Beck as network, and then I had my own show, and they had no clue. So I started asking them about their projects and about the things they were working on. And honestly, all they could talk about was their pet project, the project they dreamed up, got the go-ahead for, got the money for, and basically just to pay their mortgage. It was never about serving the interest or using the tax dollars or any of that. It was just, this is my pet project. This is what I get to do because I designed it. I got it okayed. I got it budget approved. They're segueing, you know, giving me money for this, and I get to do this, and aren't I wonderful? And I was just so, oh my gosh, it was just gross to see up close and personal how many people, it was just such a selfish, I get to do this, you know? It was crazy.
Well, I used to work in a government bureaucracy and disliked working there immensely, but I used to call them empire builders. There are people who are carving out little chunks of a kingdom for themselves that they rule over.
Right.
Because everyone below them, they are the choke point. Nobody gets around them. And they watch people at, you know, I have my little kingdom, you have your little kingdom. And there's no way, we're not going to give access. The serfs get no access to anyone above me.
Right.
You know, I can hold them down. Well, I thought this was also interesting. Bureaucracies reward behaviors that are unhelpful. It is good at rewarding people who can deflect blame.
Right.
It's good at people. It's good for people. It rewards people who hoard information. It rewards people who will say no when they're asked to collaborate. And they only, this is what you were just talking about, they only focus on their job, their task, their creation.
Right.
And it rewards people who are good at what's called managing up. at reading what the boss wants and understanding how to shape their behavior to fit in. And that's why we see there's a different atmosphere in a lot of these departments than some of our government departments right now are the biggest Trump haters that are out there.
Yeah.
Because people at those choke points hate Trump.
You're right. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And so in order for you to get ahead in that system, you also have to adopt whatever the values are of the person above you.
Yeah.
It's an ugly, ugly game.
Not necessarily above them is what you're saying. Because with the administration, it's kind of interesting. It's just their guy that's just been through three different presidents and might be just a screaming liberal progressive. And you've got to please him, not the administration above his
right.
boss and above him. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're never going to get access to those people.
Right, right.
Because all the people, all the king builders, shall we say, the empire builders, they protect each other, and they do not give access to anyone above them.
Right.
I know, and I will refrain from naming names here, but I know that at one time in the department that I worked in, the head of the department had an office, and they had concentric rings, security rings, in the building. In order to get into that ring, you had to pass various checkpoints. And it wasn't necessarily security, like we're worried that somebody's going to come in here and do something, you know, violent. It was they did not want access to the head of the department. So the head of the department was completely isolated from everything else going on.
Makes sense, though. I mean, it makes sense because it's also disconnected. Of course, it would be like this. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
How sad.
And this is costing us trillions of dollars. This is why our government is so outrageously expensive, because we have all these people, and they're incentivized to protect their positions and themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So here's a little case study I found to be very, very interesting. And this is not my story. This is just one that someone had published about an advocacy group, an environmental advocacy group that had managed to get a lot of corporate dollars and a lot of backing, and they had a very well-connected lobbyist working with them as well. And they were pushing for the construction of trails in their community.
Right.
And the trail that they laid out moved through what the people in the community regarded as environmentally fragile parks and reserves of old growth forests, floodplains and watershed, and through residential neighborhoods.
Okay, we're going to cover
the rest of that when we come back.
We're going to come right back on this. More with Melissa Smith talking about bureaucracies. I'll also cover a little bit on nursing homes. Who's making the policy? Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make.
Welcome back, little Tim Hawkins. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show is what you're listening to right now. I'm your host, Kate Daly. I have Melissa Smith with me. She comes to the show every single Wednesday. You can hear Melissa. She's followed by Susan. And what a fun show it is on Wednesdays. In fact, let me. By the way, go to the website for all the recorded podcasts of this show. You can go to katedalyradio.com. The call-in number is there. Also, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll find all the podcasts, and you can take those and share them and listen to them, and they're a lot of fun to listen to and binge on while you're driving, whatever the case may be. Maybe even mowing the lawn, who knows? But check those out. You know, back in the day, Melissa, well, actually, I really do want you to finish your story. So back it up a couple of notches and then talk about the bureaucrats.
Okay, so to kind of recap, there was an environmentalist group whose mission, or their supposed mission, was to help build trails in a community for transportation and recreation, all the things that trails are supposed to be good for. They were well-funded. They were connected with a lobbyist, and they were kind of the people in the community did not necessarily want the trails.
Mm-hmm.
They and for an environmental group, they were trespassing across like old growth forest and parkland that the people did not want to be disturbed, and mm-hmm. into residential neighborhoods. So when the people in the community were trying to say, well, you know, trails are not always a win for everybody. You mm-hmm. know, if we're destroying habitat or if we're destroying old growth forests, that's not necessarily something that we want to do. And they also brought statistics about crime, mm-hmm. increased crime, where trails go through residential areas. And the city, the people in the city that were working on this project with this environmental group would not hear anything that the people had to say, mm-hmm. because this became a big vanity project, because this is the cool hip thing to have in your town, right?
Right.
So it was a vanity project, and the politicians wanted to deal with this environmental group because of deep pockets.
Mm.
So part of what, and this goes to the law of bureaucracy, you know, the people, this environmental group that sits in the middle between the people and the politicians, they're providing insulation for the politicians,
mm-hmm.
who now don't have to take the heat over any of the negatives that
right.
they're presenting.
Right.
And the environmental group is patting themselves. They're getting kudos from their peers for doing this great thing in the community. Who are the people who are left out in the cold here?
Yeah.
It's the people.
Right.
The people.
Right.
And so until we figure out, this is kind of my bottom line, until we can figure out
mm-hmm.
how to successfully fight the bureaucracy, we will never be able to restore constitutional government.
Yeah.
Because the bureaucracy sits between
right.
us
mm-hmm.
and our elected officials.
Right.
Without
right.
any, there's no consequence to any of them. There was no consequence to this environmental group for ramming this through a community that didn't want it.
Right. Right. You know, I've been thinking a lot about nursing homes because, of course, they want to give the COVID vaccine to nursing home patients. Can you imagine how horrific that is? Because there's no family there they're not letting the families in still to be able to counter that and say no, right? And what makes that possible? And it's kind of along the same lines. In the nursing home, there were a couple of scandals in care in nursing homes back in between 1963 and 1974. So the government decides that they're going to take up all of this on the U.S. Senate Special Committee on Aging. And this led to all of these reforms in state laws and federal laws required, you know, regulating nursing facilities. And then in 1982, Congress asked the Institute of Medicine to study the regulations. And the Institute report showed that there could be some problems, because when your families aren't visiting often enough, there could be problems, right? Because the families are supposed to keep tabs on all of this and make sure that their person is in a good facility. And so at the time, they said that one third of the nation's nursing homes did not meet federal standards, whatever those are. And then in 87, Congress passed an omnibus bill, and that regulation of the nursing homes kind of went into effect on those monies. Then if you get up into 98 and 99, they decided that they were still having issues, even though the government got involved, the bureaucracies, they were still having so many issues that they needed to clamp down even further, right? And so then it was all about controlling it, because at the time you had a pretty healthy 60% of profit going in for companies like Sun Health and Horizon Care that were making a lot of money, right? 67% actually on profit on the profit margin on these. So then they decide that they really need to get into becoming a bigger part of this. And then they had decisions like in 2000, Supreme Court of Texas upheld that the home health corporation was responsible for a death, right? And so then, like coming out in September, just this month, with a whole new plan of action as far as what CMS, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, are going to do regarding nursing homes. See, when it's funded by Medicaid at a certain percentage or all of it, then they get to call the shots and develop all these policies down to how they're bathed and eat and dress and everything else. And so when we're looking at all of these things together, the government gets to call the shots on the fact that you don't get to visit your loved ones, and they get to be basically in prison now for 8 months. And how disgusting and criminal that is, because I think we're causing so many more deaths. Of course, in the liberal states, we're causing a lot of deaths in nursing homes. And these are considered the throwaway. And it just makes me ill. It makes me sick inside to think that the American populace is standing by and watching this and allowing this to happen when people inside these nursing homes do not get they don't get to say how they feel. They don't have any rights all of a sudden, because now the federal government bureaucracies are in multiple state and federal that are controlling every single policy, and they will not break any of those policies. They will not change any of those policies. The families can't lobby, and they can take them out, but that's about the only solution to that. They, even if they leave for the day, they won't allow them back in. Even though we understand how sad it is that we're driving in this COVID narrative in so many ways, this sham. These people are being imprisoned, and nobody can do anything about it because it's steeped in bureaucracy. It's so sad to me. It's so criminal. Anyway, Melissa, are you there? Ah, Melissa.
Yeah.
I lost her, but she is back. And so just talking about the nursing homes and talking about all the bureaucracy that these people have been basically imprisoned for 8 months, and not a lot of people are caring about this. We're all glad to be mostly out of lockdown, but the nursing home patients that are just mired in this federal bureaucracy that gets to control their lives because Medicaid is usually paying for a large portion or all of their stay, they get to call the shots and create policy and regulation. And these poor people, the families can't even get in there to have a say on the stupid policies that they're doing. Like not being able to go outside and get sunshine, not being able to leave their room. 8 months, and we're just standing here watching it.
At its most malevolent, I think all bureaucracies prey upon those who are the weakest in the system.
Yes, yes.
Now, not every bureaucracy is evil, mm-hmm. but when they... I think bureaucracies tend toward that because, like I said, you know, the people at the choke points regard themselves as the epitome of all knowledge.
Right.
So that's what's happening to the people in the nursing homes, is that there's people at these choke points and you can't get through that to get any higher or farther.
Yes, and they all claim...
And people in nursing homes, you know, what power do
right.
they have?
They don't, and that's the thing, is they can always pass the buck to say, well, our boss says, and we can't, and it's policy. So they just sit there and blank face, it's policy. Yeah, they can't go outside. Did you know the prisoners are under the same rules as nursing home patients? The prisoners, too, they kept in lockdown in their cell and could only go out for about 15 minutes a day in most prisons across the United States this last 8 months because of COVID. Can you imagine this? And nursing homes, the families weren't even let in. And so if they were put on a ventilator prematurely for the cash, people couldn't do anything about it. You can't even be let in. So,
well, if you think about what this year has been, our children
yeah,
and the schools, think about the rules. And no one in the schools has been willing to say, yes, I'm endorsing this policy. Everybody's just
passes
like, well,
the buck.
This is what's coming to us. We can't do anything about it.
Yep.
There's a lot of buck passing in a bureaucracy, but you will never get to the place where you can ever understand who really called the shot.
Yes, because it's all about passing the blame and no liability here, no liability here game. And we're buying into it by allowing this to happen and for this to grow, because this only grew from 1963. In fact, If in 1963 they addressed these problems, why in the world did we still have problems in the year 1999? See, when government bureaucracies get involved, they never do things the right way. I've never noticed that they've actually done something correctly, where it's provided a solution.
And you will always notice in a bureaucracy, there is always accountability moving downward, mm-hmm. but never accountability that moves upward.
Amen. Yep.
So you are to do what we tell you to do, mm-hmm. but you will not tell me what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a complete disconnect. I mean, dare I say that this is kind of un-American. We believe that this is, you know, what our constitutional government theoretically puts the people in control. Mm-hmm. The government is supposed to work for us.
Right.
But the bigger the bureaucracy grows, the less they work for us, and the more they only work for themselves.
Yes.
Because that's what is rewarded in a bureaucracy.
Yep, and as this bureaucracy grows, and it's unelected, and we only solely focus on the presidential election and then Congress. Now, Congress can actually defund a lot of these departments, but you'll never find that. It just seems that they grow. Like the Patriot Act gave us Homeland Security. That didn't exist before then. And now all of a sudden we have a huge agency.
I just said that the bureaucracy serves them well because it insulates them from the people.
Yes. Yes.
We have to go through the bureaucracy before you can get the attention of your elected official. Your elected official is never going to listen to you, as they will defer you. They'll help you work through the bureaucracy, but they're not interested in cutting the bureaucracy. Number one, part of that
bureaucracy is
part of their financial gravy train,
mm-hmm.
and it provides them cover.
Yep.
I didn't do that. That's the EPA, and we all know that the EPA is or whatever bureaucracy. You know,
yes.
We all know that.
It's
XYZ
like
department is.
It's like all of your maskers on COVID. That's pretty much the EPA. It's like all your all the people that mask up and yell at people in grocery stores. That's pretty much the equivalent of the EPA.
It's a sad, sad story. And like I said, in the law of the iron law of bureaucracy, the longer the bureaucracy exists, the more distant they become from their original purpose and mission, and the more they become about just protecting their own turf.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing that in spades all across the country.
Yes.
Look at the power the CDC has taken in the last 8 months.
Gosh, it's sick.
Will we ever get rid of that?
Right. It's so
they've been
sick.
Given, and this is power. How do we, you know, if you wanted to get rid of Fauci, how mm-hmm. would you go about doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Number one, just stop giving him a microphone. Number two, it's propping up press conferences. But yes, you're exactly right, because they've positioned themselves in government with their own policies, like you said, that they created that protect their behinds. And that's really what it comes down to. And so Trump was right in taking the info that goes to the CDC, the data, and switching it to another department away from the CDC, because the CDC is just a runaway corrupt train. But my gosh, we have so many problems with this. I mean, we're just exploding in bureaucracy. It's insane.
Well, yeah. And don't forget what the purpose, like, I can't tell you how profoundly that hit me. That a bureaucracy is it's organizational structures
mm-hmm.
to promote to maximize human compliance.
To human compliance, what a strong statement that is! Wow.
You know, we're supposed to be obedient to the bureaucracy,
right?
And that is upside down. That is an upside down concept in American.
You're right.
Government.
Compliance. I mean, what happened to we the people? Free country. I mean, my gosh, compliance. Wow. I'm glad you brought that up, Melissa. What a great hour. Thank you. Thank you. Always learn from you. Really appreciate you. Fantastic hour. And we have Susan coming up. Thanks, Melissa. Go to Kate. What's that?
I'll talk to you next
Okay,
week.
Sounds good. And by the way, Susan coming up, stay on for this. If you don't get this hour, get it on podcast and be right back. Man, do we have a lot of stuff to expose in the next hour.